This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
All right, everybody, welcome to the People Speak Show. This is your guest host, Charles Giuliani. Some of you might remember me from before. It's been a while, but I used to guest host. I've guest hosted quite a few times over the years, but I haven't been around since, I think it was early last summer. But I'm glad to be back, and we have a very important guest this evening. We have Mr. Charles Strange. He's the father of Michael Strange, who was one of the individuals who took part in the capture of Bin Laden. He was part of the SEAL 6 team, and some very strange things, as many of you will recall, occurred surrounding that, the capture, and then of course the downing of the helicopter, killing basically the entire team. Is that correct, Charles?
Yes.
The whole team was killed. I knew right away when I heard that story that we were dealing with some incredibly corrupt, foul play. This is nothing new, as I'm sure you're aware of or have become aware of. This type of thing has gone on before. Actually, before we even get into, your experience with this and your son, I was wondering if you heard of a story back in 2002 also involving Bin Laden. There was a team out of Fort Bragg that had come back from serving in Afghanistan. And apparently they weren't supposed to talk about this, but they did talk to some local newspaper reporters in their local town in Georgia. And they mentioned that there was one instance, I think it was probably in late October, early November of 2001. They said that they had Bin Laden cornered in a cave, and they radioed in, and they were told, don't do anything, just stand by. And shortly after, a helicopter flew in. They escorted Bin Laden out of the cave and flew him over the border into Pakistan, and they were told not to say anything about it. Anyway, once they did start talking, one by one, the individuals, I think there were three of them, him and two other buddies of his that were on the scene there, all wound up mysteriously committing suicide, quote-unquote. Those suicides were highly questionable. But when I heard the story of your son and on the SEAL 6 team, this reminded me of that. Were you familiar with that story?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm sure. Very, very similar. Deja vu kind of thing.
Two anyway. Boating accidents, and one guy jumped out of they had bars on the, he was in a hospital. And somehow he got through the steel bars and jumped out there.
Oh, so they weren't all suicides? Two of them were boating accidents? Supposed boating accidents?
Supposedly boating accidents.
Yeah, I think the one that committed suicide, supposedly he shot his wife something or girlfriend or something first and then himself, or if I remember right.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah, very, very suspicious. I certainly want to give you the opportunity to talk, but are you even familiar also with the inconsistencies in the Bin Laden story? You know, there appears to have been several different Bin Ladens, you know, one with a short, stubby nose, one with a long, slender nose. One Bin Laden was reported to have died in Tora Bora in December of 2001 from kidney failure. Have you heard that one?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the story of there was an FBI spokesman who went to Cornell University in June of 2006. He gave a talk, and afterwards there was a question and answer session. And one of the students asked, sir, why is it that you don't have 9/11 listed as one of the crimes that Bin Laden is wanted for? He's on the most wanted terrorist list, and yet you don't have 9/11 listed. His response was, well, we don't have enough evidence to connect him with that crime, enough hard evidence. When I saw that, my jaw almost dropped. You got to be kidding me. Have you heard that? I'm sure you've heard that as well. It's just there's so many problems, so many inconsistencies. the bin Laden that people kept seeing in these videos that were being released actually was signing documents and gesturing with his right hand when the FBI says that he's left-handed. His nose, his facial features were much different than the original bin Laden. Anyway, I just wanted to, you know, for the listeners that weren't familiar with some of these stories, I wanted to get that out there. But with that said and done, let's get now to the story of, you know, what happened with your son. And I'm so sorry to hear about this tragedy. It just stinks to high heaven, doesn't it?
We go to court this Thursday in the Armed Service Committee. It will be on C-SPAN at 10 a.m. In the Rayburn Building. This Thursday, 10 a.m., extortion 17. Jason Tevez is leading it, and they subpoenaed a guy named General Jeffrey Colt, who did the investigation. My son, Michael Strange, he was a cryptologist, code breaker for SEAL Team 6, the gold team, for 4 years. And Michael came home in June in 2011, and for the first time, he talked about a will. And he was in the military almost 8 years. And
wow.
He grabbed me by the arm 3 times to talk about a will, and he never did that before. And the next thing I know is I get a knock on the door saying my son got killed with 30 other brave Americans.
Now,
and,
did he mention... Oh, go ahead.
And nothing makes sense.
No, certainly doesn't. Did he talk... did he make any other comments, Strange, along that line, talking about a will? Did he indicate that there was something wrong, something that didn't add up? Did he try maybe to relay anything to you, or maybe he was afraid to? Did you get any indication like that?
He said, Dad, you wouldn't believe what goes on in this country.
Oh,
and
wow.
Something was going on with the team, and he left Philadelphia 4 days early. He never left Philadelphia 4 days early, you know, he would hang out with his brother and sisters and his friends and drink Jamesons and get naked and laugh and joke and take
right.
his old dad out for lunch and, you know.
And now, the entire SEAL 6 team was killed. How many people were in the team?
From SEAL Team 6 that got killed that day?
Yeah.
17.
17. Have you been in touch?
Yeah.
I'm sure you must have with some of the other parents. Have they given any indication like this as well that you know their sons were acting suspicious or talking suspiciously, like expected something wasn't right?
Oh yeah, and one guy used to hit his dad in the belly, say, "Yo, don't drink all the beer. I'll be home in 3 months." This time he puts his hands on his dad's shoulders, thanks him for the way he raised him, thanks for bringing football to my town. Another guy he called home, Aaron Vaughn, told his wife to wipe out his social media, Facebook stuff that he's a Navy SEAL. Another guy, they all lived down, you know, in their secret, well, it used to be secret until Leon Panetta told everybody where SEAL Team 6 base was. He brought everybody down and his grandma. So they knew somebody was leaking, they just didn't know how high. You know, something was going on, and that's why we're having this investigation this Thursday.
Now, you know, that was a major event, of course. It was broadcast all over the country, all over the world, as a matter of fact. You know, the capturing of bin Laden, this is the most wanted terrorist, you know. Did your son ever relay the story to you? Did he seem uncomfortable discussing it? You know, like he didn't really buy it, you know, it didn't happen the way that it was portrayed in the media. Did he give any indication to you that the story itself wasn't
there? Nah, Michael, he wouldn't talk. They gave him a lie detector every 2 months.
Wow.
And the first question they asked him was, when was the last time you lied? You know? So it was a loaded question they're asking. They should have put that lie detector on some of them people down there on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Wow.
Or some of them people from the higher ups of the military.
Let me ask you, obviously you're aware of a lot of the problems I was mentioning with the official bin Laden story. Do you personally buy the story that they did capture him? I mean, the whole thing, they shot him and threw him overboard. This is the most wanted terrorist in the world. you're going to want to bring him in alive. And if for some reason he gets killed, at least bring the body in. You know, no body, nothing. How do you feel about this story itself?
Since we're having a hearing this Thursday,
I don't want to put you in an awkward position.
But I will tell you this. There's a guy named Din Muhammad, who looks exactly like Bin Laden and has bad left eye.
Wow.
They call him the Antichrist. Well, you can Google him up, and them two look a little bit alike. And, you know,
last seen in Langley.
You ask people
about
Bin Laden, and they go, yeah, we got him. I said, but did you ever see him? And then they'll scratch their head and say, you know what? They never showed anything.
Yeah. Very strange.
So,
obviously, all of these facts, and I'm sure many more that you probably aren't at liberty right now to talk about, are going to be brought up. And this is going to be televised now on C-SPAN?
Yes.
Wow. I'll definitely have to tune in, and I'm sure many of our listeners are going to be doing the same. This is going to be a landmark case. I mean, just on the basis alone of what we've been discussing, you know, other kids that were there, other SEAL team members, you know, that were part of this team that were there, all acting suspicious, talking about, like, your son, a will, others talking, you know, being extra, you know, affectionate more than what is, you know, typical for them, indicating that they expected something something was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody was leaking some. And I'll tell you what, I met Mr. Obama August 18th down in Dover, and we're in a hangar there waiting, and Mr. Obama came up and he put his hands on my shoulders.
Really?
He said, Michael changed the way America lives. And I grabbed Mr. Obama by the shoulders and started shaking him. And I said, I don't need to know about my son. I need to know what happened. And then the Secret Service guys grabbed me. And I was crying and snot's coming out of my nose. And Obama came up to give me a hug. And I whispered in his ear, is there going to be a congressional inquiry? And I could feel his lips touching my ears. He said, Mr. Strange, we're going to look into this very, very, very deep. And I never heard nothing back.
Well, unfortunately, I'm sure you know about this, too. You know, there's been congressional, quote, inquiries in the past, like with the JFK assassination. But all we got from that was, you know, a cover-up. There was a 9/11 commission. There was a lot of problems with that story that didn't add up. The 9/11 commission didn't address hardly anything. You know, they didn't even talk about Building 7, as I'm sure you're aware. You know, how did that thing come down later in the afternoon? It wasn't hit by a plane. There weren't significant fires burning in it. And yet it fell in classic demolition fashion. Congress didn't even address that building in their report.
Oh, yeah. I'm well aware of, you know, and they call it conspiracy. But what I have, and why my phone's tapped and my computer is, October 12, 2011, we went down to Dam Neck, and this General Colt did the investigation. Was explaining things. I kept asking questions. He kept saying, it's in the book. I said, what happened to the black box? And he raised both hands, and he said, a flash flood came and washed it away. But we got home, we opened the book up, there was no ink. There was no toner. You couldn't read it.
Right.
So when I called up command and complained about that, they said, oh, we got a lot of complaints about that. I said, all right, send me another one. He said, we can't. We burned it. So you put the disc in, you get 100 little blocks, and you click it three times, and it opens, and you can read three sentences, but the rest is blurry.
Yeah.
And my wife, she figured out how to print it out. And they didn't expect that. 1,364 pages, and, you know, the Taliban was sitting there waiting. It even goes and says the Taliban bragged a half hour after the helicopter went down, they just killed SEAL Team 6. How did they know?
Unbelievable. Right. You know, we have a caller. I'm going to go to him in just a minute, but I wanted to ask you again, how did your son put it? He said there's things going on in this country that would, how did he put it, that would shock you? Or...
He gave me a look and said, Dad, you wouldn't believe what goes on in this country. My son was 25. I mean, you know, we're Catholic. He went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. You know, we have a conscience. And I believe a lot of them guys have consciences.
Yeah.
And they know right from wrong, and they knew something wrong was going on in this country, and I believe that's why they were murdered.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't want people with the conscience. They want to make sure you're going to keep your mouth shut, look the other way, and when you do have a conscience, unfortunately, this is the price that you paid. There's been many people, congressmen even, over the decades, that have died under very mysterious circumstances. There was even a former CIA director, believe it or not, we had at least one with a conscience, William Colby. He died under very mysterious circumstances. His wife came home and found the front door open. His meal was left half-eaten on the table. The lights were left on. Supposedly, they claim he went on a boating trip at night. You know, she says, no, he never went out on his boat at night in the dock. It just, you know, it's unheard of. And then to leave the lights on with the door open, you know, it's just very... And he had a conscience. He was starting to open his mouth and share some, you know, dark secrets of the CIA. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Unfortunately, you know, most Americans are programmed to think that when you mention the word conspiracy, that somehow, you know, you have to turn off, you know, shut the door on them, basically, not give them an ear. You know, oh, they're crazy. But the reality is, you know, conspiracies are the norm in history. They're not the exception. It's a very sad reality. Before we go to our caller, I just wanted to mention one other thing. Are you aware of, you know who Zbigniew Brzezinski is, right? He was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. He's one of the top planners in our foreign policy apparatus. And over the years, he's written quite a few books. And if you pay attention to the stuff he's written, it's very, very revealing. Because he'll tell in his books years in advance things that are going to happen. Are you familiar with where I'm going with this?
Yes, I heard of what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, he wrote in his 1997 book, The Grand Chessboard, on page 211, that we needed to go into Eurasia in the coming years to seize the rich oil and natural gas in the Caspian Sea and the rich mineral resources and, you know, in Afghanistan. And he said, in order to do this, to get the American public behind us in support of this agenda, it would require a massive, widely perceived direct external threat. Of course, he was talking about 9/11. He called it a perceived direct external threat. That's absolutely jaw-dropping, if you ask me. And then if you couple that together with a report drafted up in September of 2000 by the PNAC group, you know who they were, Project in the New American Century, chaired by, you know, Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Feith, Abrams, all who became big later in the Bush administration. Their September 2000 report, Rebuilding America's Defenses, talked about something very similar. They said in order to go into Iraq in the coming years and seize its oil reserves, we would require a new Pearl Harbor type event. And of course, the evening of 9/11, Mr. Bush writes in his diary, the new Pearl Harbor of the 21st century struck the United States today. Now, people can say you're a conspiracy nut, but all you're doing is pointing out stuff that they themselves had called for, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah. And so what's sad is the first thing most people would say is, yeah, we got to have an investigation. You know, let's call Congress. Unfortunately, you can probably count on the fingers of one hand the people in Congress that actually have a conscience, that want to get to the truth. You know, most of them are just, unfortunately, they're just sellouts. But I wish you the best of luck on Thursday. I'm going to be tuning in. I want to see how this turns out. Anyway, do you want to go to our caller, Rock, his name is?
Hey, guys. Hi. This is Rock from California.
Hey, how's it going, Rock? Welcome to the show.
Charles, first of all, my hat's off to you and my sympathies to your son. But my hat's off to you for standing up for what's right and trying to figure out what went wrong and expose what's going on. Now, I've heard various reports in the past. I'm former military also, but I pay attention to things that might, you know, make sense to me. And if you go back in the 80s, Osama bin Laden, or Obama bin Laden, was on our side. And, you know, he was a game player for the Bushes, if you can, and the Reagans, if you remember back then.
He helped the
United States defeat the Russians in Afghanistan. So with the close ties between the Laden family and the Bush family and everything else, me personally, I found it hard to believe that Obama bin Laden or Osama bin Laden, sorry, I keep making that mistake as a joke, but I feel that the Bushes had a lot to do with it, and the Cheneys, and all these, and the Brzezinskis, and all these idiots. They're all playing a game together, and the only people that are suffering are the American children that are being sent off to kill in the name of oil and gold and minerals. So
yeah.
What do you think on that, and what is your perspective?
All the heroin, too, that's coming into this country. I mean, their poppy fields is, before we went into Afghanistan, 5% of the heroin came here. Now,
yeah.
It was just, which really surprised me, was just on
business
60 Minutes
booming.
About 4 minutes ago, 95%.
Yeah.
And it's a $1 billion industry. And,
I was going to say your son isn't alone, and you know, his fellow SEAL team members. There's been quite a bit of abandonment. There's even been a lot of, at least we're told, suicide. They don't like to publicize it much, but in Iraq, there were quite a few over the years while we were in, while the fighting was going on. Quite a few soldiers either abandoned their post or just, were probably so depressed. I'm sure that some of them were legit. Maybe they staged some suicides too, who knows. But in any case, a lot of soldiers were indicating that they didn't like what was going on. They knew something was rotten with this whole war,
It's at least one a day they're killing themselves coming back with PTSD.
Yeah.
We lost over 7,200 in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And over 79,000 came home with no legs and no arms. So we have a foundation, MichaelStrangeFoundation.org. What we do is we bring the moms, dads, brothers, and sisters in for a weekend retreat with paid grief counselors. MichaelStrangeFoundation.org. We sell some T-shirts. Or Michael Strange Facebook. You can see a 3-minute video of the moms and dads and sisters that came through our first weekend, just to try to do some kind of healing so you don't end up in the hat factory.
Yeah, sure. And so on this website, is there a link where if people wanted to donate or to get involved or something?
Yeah, we have PayPal, and there's also a link. We have some Michael Strange Navy SEAL T-shirts and anything you can do to help. Watch the video on Michael Strange Facebook. We had 3 of the families from SEAL Team 6 and 4 families from North Jersey, down south, West Virginia. I can't think of them all right now. But we all talk to our parents. That's the main thing, to help with this pain, because it's every day.
Right.
And, you're not supposed to bury your son or your daughter. It's not like it goes away. It's every day, And we had a lady on our first retreat. Her name is Mrs. Koch. Her son was Stephen Koch. He was a Marine that was killed over there in Afghanistan. The Taliban walked in with a vest bomb. And his 25-year-old sister kept saying to the mom, "Stephen's coming home, Mom. Don't go to them things. Stephen's coming home, Mom. He'll be back, Mom." She killed herself. She left a note with a handful of pills and said, "I'm going to go be with my brother." And she had a bachelor's degree from Rutgers, beautiful, beautiful blonde hair, 25-year-old. She couldn't take the pain. Nobody ever hears about how the families are affected.
No.
Nobody sees in Arlington them 4-year-old kids hugging the tombstone talking to their dad. What's going on here? And we got these motherfuckers down there sending people over the war, and they can't even fight because they changed the rules of engagement. We should wipe them out. It shouldn't even be a war.
Right.
They're not allowed to shoot until you get shot at. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. Because, you know, in my son's case, they actually showed us like 30 Taliban by the tree line with AK-47s, RPG, night vision goggles. One of the founders said, why didn't a drone take them out? And this guy stands up, Admiral Hardwood, his name is.
Yeah.
Write him a nasty email, everybody. Admiral Hardwood, he stands up, right, while all the parents are there. He says, to win the hearts and minds, there could have been a farmer there. Who? All our sons are dead.
Unbelievable.
How about our hearts? How about our minds? You know what I mean?
He could have been lynched for a comment like that. Unbelievable.
Or that... Lucky I don't see him, because it was two months after it happened, so you're out of your mind. You got Jeffrey Colt telling you what happened with his song and the dance, you know what I mean?
You know, the same thing was done in Korea, North Vietnam, the Vietnam War. Washington was actually telling the North Viet Cong where our troops were going to be moved to on a daily basis, so they would know, they would be prepared ahead of time. They would move their troops out of the way and try to, you know, like ambush them. This was all done to drag the war on so that the Pentagon contracting companies could maximize their profit. They didn't want the war to end early because then they couldn't make as much money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. My buddy was in Vietnam, and he jumped up and he was standing on a rock and he said, I figured it out. And everybody's screaming at him, get down. He's like, I figured it out. Finally, some dude tackled him. They go, what'd you figure out? He goes, I figured out why they're shooting at us. They go, why? He goes, because we're shooting at them.
Yeah, unfortunately, there aren't many exceptions to that rule. Pretty much all wars in history were arranged around a boardroom table by powerful financiers that want to make a lot of money. And all they have to do is lie to people through propaganda in the news to convince them that's about fighting for freedom and democracy. But our young people go over there to fight these wars with the most sincere motives. You know, once they get there, though, like your son, they realize the whole thing was a fraud. They were lied into it. And if they don't learn to swallow their conscience, and how can you when that's a part of who you are, you know? But if they don't do it, they don't, unfortunately, wind up living very long. And, your son, unfortunately, had to pay that price. But, that's a true American hero in my book that doesn't cave in, holds to his principles. And, I wish there were more people in this country that would do that.
Yeah. It's, I truly believe that Michael, as he was doing what he was doing, and them guys started talking like, yo, man, this ain't right. There's something wrong here, man. And I even told my son, when he was home in June, when he was going back, I said, don't go back, man. He just stared at me, and I'm going to start to cry. But, and these son of a bitches. So we'll see what Thursday brings. C-SPAN, 10 a.m. down the Rayburn building, and we'll see what kind of, if we get any answers for the parents, any kind of closure. Or somebody should be held accountable.
Yeah.
30 guys, you know.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck. I'll be tuning in on Thursday. We have another guest coming on in just a moment, but, keep doing what you're doing. Don't back down. That's what they're hoping, that you're going to just throw your arms up in despair. This is going big time now. This is going to be broadcast nationally. All eyes are going to be upon these liars, and let's hope that this will accomplish some good to wake people up, to get them to realize that the boys in Washington aren't working for us. They're not. They're working for big money, big business. That's it. Bottom line.
Got that right.
Absolutely.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me on. Anytime you guys want to have me on again, give me a call back. I really appreciate it. Need everybody to look up Extortion 17 and C-SPAN this Thursday, 10 a.m. and MichaelStrangeFoundation.org.
Definitely check that out, folks. Okay, thanks again for coming on. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, stick with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes with our next guest related to this same story. We'll be right back.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. For the second half of the show here, we're joined by David Seiler. He's a senior network engineer. He himself was in the Navy a while back. I don't want to ruin the story. I want to let him tell it, but he's tied in intimately with the whole saga here of, you know, Charles Strange and his experience. So with no further ado, let's welcome our guest. Welcome, Mr. Silas.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, we were just talking during the break. Share with our listeners, you know, how you met up with Mr. Strange and the very strange occurrence that occurred thereafter.
Well, I was attending a veteran retreat hosted by Vets Journey Home. You know, I'm former U.S. Navy, was 84 to 88, was stationed on board USS Dwight D. Eisenhower. So, you know, I'm former military. So, you know, I met him during this Vets Journey Home and heard his story about him losing his son, Michael. You know, and we went through the process and, you know, off hours of the Vets Journey Home, we do lunch, dinner, et cetera, and we spent the weekend up there. And he started telling me about some weird things going on with his computer. Well, I'm currently a senior network engineer. I've been doing this 22 years. I currently hold over 250 certifications from a variety of manufacturers, IBM, OKData, Lexmark, Certified Webmaster through Johns Hopkins, et cetera. So my first thought was, you know, he's got some malware, some spyware, something weird, you know, something weird on the internet. But then he started telling me further. It started happening after he got this CD. He went to Danbury, Virginia, to basically get a debrief from the military on what happened to his son. So they give him this booklet that supposedly has all the information in it and a CD with some more information in it. So during this, he tells me, yeah, when we put the CD in, there's a whole bunch of little black dots. Well, we had to click one, and a whole bunch more little black dots appeared. Then we had to click another one, and I was kind of thinking, that's a little weird. Okay, wow. Bring it over. You know, once we're done here, here's my name, here's my address. Just bring it over. Let me look at it. One of my specialties is virus removal, spyware removal. So I have a lot of tools and utilities to kind of really go in depth into it.
Yeah.
So he lives up in Philadelphia. He goes, how much will it cost me? I said, bring me a couple of Philly cheesesteak subs. We'll call it even. So he brings it down one night. So I started looking into it. So as I'm starting to set up my computer and his stuff, and he's like, yeah, I got the CD on this date at this time. Put it in on this date at this time, and right afterward, it started getting all your pop-ups, and they would freeze up, and just weird things would happen. So it took me about a good 4 hours to really crack into it and figure out what was going on. But I ended up finding it had what's called several keystroke loggers on it. What that means in English is as you type, it actually takes what you type and sends it off-site somewhere. Now, the files that I found were sending it off to an alphanumeric.gov site. So it would be like A1B794G.gov. So
wow.
Very, very, very intricate programming.
Now, is this something that they installed remotely, most likely, right, when he was online?
Now, once I looked at it, it looked like... what ended up being on that CD was Adobe Acrobat files, which are basically, you can take any file you want, like a Word file, Excel file, and you make it into an Adobe file so you can't edit it, you can't modify it.
Yeah.
And then what they would do is redact stuff in it. So the CD that they gave him, those black dots that he was referring to were actually installers installing stuff on his computer.
Wow. Now, again, do you think somebody, you know, did they send somebody into his home, or did they just hack in remotely somehow?
Well, what it is once you hit an executable on your computer, even if you have an antivirus, no antivirus is 100% effective.
Right.
Not one of them out there. No matter what they claim, they're not 100% effective.
And, of course, the NSA has companies with back doors, so they're always going to have access where other people won't be able to, right?
Once you install it, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
There's lots of frauds that are going out there that they can just take control of your computer and do what they want with it and watch what you're doing, see your bank account
right.
information, see your private information and your private files on it. Once they have access, they have access. So
that comes with living in a free country.
Yeah. So, you know, basically I told Charlie, you know, and Mary, who was down here, his wife, here's what I'm finding. Here's what's going on. I mean, you've got some really sophisticated stuff on here. So, you know, I kind of, you know, documented it all for him, you know, in the email. Here's what I found. Here's what I did. Come November, I get a call from his attorney. I had no clue that they were going to court over, you know, I hadn't spoken with him since I had done that. I saw one email from him along the way. So, you know, basically I took care of it. You know, nice seeing you. Been fun, been real. So his attorney calls me up and says, hey, I understand you've been helping Mr. Strange out. And I said, well, you know, I saw him the one time, you know, helped him out and took care of it. He goes, can you kind of tell me what you did? So I kind of went over it, you know, and because of my background, you know, and how long I've been doing this, they actually classified me as a expert witness. And because I'm a third party and have no vested interest of really what's going on with this, I put it all into an affidavit, and they submitted it to the court. And from what I'm being told, it was a key pivotal moment in the court because the judge looked at it and went, wait a minute, this guy's a third-party guy. He's not really trying for anything out of this. I'm getting nothing out of it. I'm not looking for payment. I'm not looking for money. I'm not looking for fame, glory, whatever.
Yeah.
All I'm looking to do is fix the guy's computer. And now after seeing what I've seen and knowing what I've known after all this, they classified me, and he really took note of that. So, now as I'm getting further into this, Mr. Strange, Charlie has shared some other things with me, like the autopsy photos of his cremated son, which the military had said, because they were so badly burned and whatever, that they all had to be cremated. Well, I've seen the photos. His son had a fractured or a severed right ankle. He didn't need to be cremated. They're Irish Catholic. They wanted an open casket funeral.
Right, sure.
Why would they do... So now at this point, me being former military, I was trained, you follow your orders, you follow your last, you do what you're told. No questions asked, unconditionally. But knowing what I know now and seeing what I see and have seen, I wouldn't join the military again if you paid me.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. Did they do this with the other members of the SEAL team, do you know? I didn't know that they had...
That I don't know. I can't really comment on that, testify to that, but, I can tell you 100%, this CD gave his computer malware and spyware and keystroke loggers. I'll testify in court to that. I'll go under polygraph. I saw that.
Now, are you going to be involved at all with the C-SPAN? The trial aired on C-SPAN Thursday. Are you going to be?
I'm not, and I'm purposely keeping myself divested of this because if it has to go in front of another court and they need to call me as a witness, I'm hearing a little bit of the scatter here and there. I'm really trying to keep my eyes and ears off of it purposely.
They might not because, number one, they'll see this, they'll say it's a side issue. Number two, they want to engage in damage control here, so they'll probably ignore that. They won't even let that be admitted.
Correct. Thing is, at this point, it's already on court record. So in November, my affidavit was read to the court, and a judgment was made. Now, I haven't even looked at the judgment. I don't want to know. Because when it finally comes to fruition, there's only one thing and one thing only I want for the Strange family and for these other families, and that is closure for what has happened to their children.
Right.
I have two children myself, and if anything like this happened to my children, I would only pray that there were people out there that would stand up and not go, well, it's not my business, or it's not affecting me. Oh, you better watch out. The government's all big and bad. You know what? It's their children. Give them an honest answer.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Were you able to positively determine that this came from the NSA? I'm sure it is, no question. But were you able to determine that with any certainty, or are you just assuming it?
I can't say exactly which agency did it, but what I can say is, a perfect for instance, Mary actually has no webcam on her computer. Because there's software you would need for that. And I went through their computer stem to stern, making sure that there was nothing left of this Trojan and virus. She has no webcam software. She has no webcam. She brought the full setup down to me. A few weeks later, she goes, Dave, how the heck could somebody take my picture on my computer? Wow. And I was like, Mary, you don't have a webcam. They can't. And she goes, let me take a picture of this with my cell phone. She took a picture with her cell phone, sends me the picture of her computer. Her face is in a picture looking like almost at a 45-degree angle from where her screen is, at a downward angle to her right. There's a picture of her. She goes,
without a webcam.
And I said, Mary, the only way possible that could happen is if you have some type of surveillance device in your home.
Wow.
I said, you don't have a webcam. I've seen your computer. I know your computer.
So somebody physically did go in there then.
So somebody went into her home and placed some type of bugging device, as in a camera, somewhere in her home. If you actually look at this picture, and hopefully she sent a copy to you, if you take a picture with a webcam usually sits right on top of your monitor,
right,
or actually in an LCD screen for a laptop, okay?
Yeah.
It's dead center. So when you're looking at the screen, it's looking right at you. This picture is to her right and upward at about a 12-degree angle or so, somewhere, you know, just it's up and right. So it's looking down on her.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put a webcam up and right out of your face where you would be looking in a different direction. You put it to your face.
Did they have anybody do a sweep in their home, you know, to...
What I said to her. I said, Mary, you need to get somebody in with a professional tracking device to see
right.
what's there.
Wow.
And I know she tore where I was directing her apart and did not find anything. But I said, if it can see you, you should be able to see it. It's going to be something odd. It may be a pencil. It may be, you know, just a little ball. It's going to be tiny. But it was a real tiny camera that took a picture somewhere. And it was what she was wearing right then and there. I mean, it was just, I'm like, really? And so then they start telling me about all these other things that are going on with them, how their phones are being bugged. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense. The more he screams, the more they're harassing them.
I'm just curious, do you happen to know who their internet provider is or their phone service provider?
That I don't. I believe Pennsylvania is Cox Cable, I believe. But they're in Pennsylvania, so that, I'm a ways away from them. So.
Well, you know what I'm driving at. Yeah. There's all these stories of these telecommunication companies striking deals up with the NSA, handing over private customer information to them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but
I mean,
the
all
thing
know, it could have been
a
Verizon or whatever, one of these telecommunication techs that come in their home, you know, to hook up the internet, and while they're there, they're installing this without them knowing. Who knows?
It's possible. I mean, I can't really speculate who did it where, but just when you know, one, two, or three, there's no denying that. But when you put one and two and now seven, something's wrong here. Something's not adding up.
No. I had you on at the same time as Charles, you know, we could have dialogued and gotten some input from him on this and,
I'm getting more and more into this now. We're coming close to it, and I'm just hoping that they actually pull me in to these congressional hearings.
Sure.
Because,
sure.
You know, as I said, I'm possessed of this. I have no real interest other than getting him closure.
So sure.
From what I'm seeing now, this is just, it's maddening.
It is.
It's completely maddening.
Boy,
and this could,
talk about paranoia.
They
can't have a lot to hide to be doing this stuff.
Yeah, this could happen to anybody at any time. And it's not like, you know, the NSA can just say, hey, we didn't do this. Yeah, I mean, it's already been proven. There were 12 employees that actually were caught spying on their spouses, husbands, wives, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, privately. So,
well,
yeah,
you know,
they can do it.
It goes without saying, if their story is all above board and this whole thing happened the way that we were told, they wouldn't have to engage in this kind of underhanded, covert activity. You know what I mean? Obviously,
right.
They've got something to hide.
Yeah, I mean,
I think your story is very pertinent to this case, but like I said, they won't even admit it, allow it to be admitted in court. You know, this is like... there was a fireman in New York City who participated in the cleanup at Ground Zero, you know, after 9/11, Louis Cascioli.
Right.
And, you know, he was bringing up things. He went to the 9/11 Commission hearing, and they wouldn't let him say anything other than just what they were asking him. You know, they wanted direct answers to questions, sideline issues. He wanted to, you know, hit the ball out of the park and let them aware that there were some strange things going on. For example, you know, he heard explosions going off. He saw, you know, puddles of molten steel in the debris that shouldn't have been there. The heat wasn't strong enough, according to, the official story. You know, there were simple office fires fueled by the plane fuel that would not have been anywhere near hot enough to melt steel. And so he was trying to bring this stuff to their attention, and they kept, you know, going off the subject. They didn't want to hear it. He finally got up in disgust, and he walked out. He said, you people aren't interested in getting to the truth. And he just stormed off. And, that, you know, that,
Well, that's the one thing that's really maddening me, because Charlie has been the leader of this cause. I mean, he's been a very strong voice in finding not only the truth for his son, but the rest of those brave men and women who got killed, dead. Their children, their wives, you know, their husbands, their family. Sure. And they're not letting him talk at the congressional hearing?
Yeah. That's a crock. Deplorable. We have another caller actually called in on the first half of the show when we were talking with Charles. Did you want to go to a caller?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah. Okay, sure. We've got a few more minutes left here. Yeah, welcome, Rock. Welcome back.
Hey, how are you? Question for you.
Yes, sir.
They can get into any computer anywhere, and they're pretty much listening in on everybody and anybody. And
hello
to
the
voice
of the NSA.
Not just the United States itself. We know that it's not just the NSA itself that's doing the spying, but also there's another country that's been spying in on the American public for quite a long time. And they've had their own companies here. As a matter of fact, they own the companies that are doing a lot of the spying for the NSA. And these are Israeli companies. But
yeah,
like you, I'm also former military, and I've come to that conclusion to where I would never encourage anybody to join the military, because it's no longer about fighting wars of reason. It's more about an imperialistic movement, and we, the American people, really need to put a stop to this, because our military should be exactly what it is. It's the National Defense Organization, not the National Offensive Organization. I mean, it should be to protect the country and the people of the country, and nothing more.
And instead, we're the victims.
There is no interest.
We're the victims in more ways than one in these fraudulent wars.
Yes. I mean, our preamble starts with we the people, not I the president, not I the Congress, not it's we the people. We are the
government. The people on Wall Street.
Everybody has a voice, and we need to use that voice to say, look, stop it. This isn't right.
Right.
You know, follow the Constitution. You're not outside or above the law.
So are you going to be tuning in on Thursday yourself, Dave, to watch the
coverage?
Yeah, that's going to be something. This is going to be a landmark trial. Anyway, we've run out of time here, but do you want to say something else?
Yeah, I'm really just hoping that everybody steps forward and gets heard at this hearing. Let the parents talk. You know, I'm hoping people from Congress are listening. Let them talk, let them ask the questions, and get them answered properly.
Yeah, I'm glad for people like Charles, you know, standing up and not letting things like this ride. You can't, because the more we do this, the worse it's going to get. We're going to keep doing it as long as they see people not standing up, saying anything, doing anything. So, you know, I commend him, and I just wish, you know, he was able to take a stand under better circumstances, you know, having lost his son. That's just a horrible horrible thing to have to go through, but let's hope some good will come out of this. If nothing else, to get more people aware that things aren't right. You know, that this whole thing is a scam. That's all it is. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Dave. We really appreciate it, and looking forward to watching us on Thursday.
Yep. God bless, and thank you for everything you're doing.
You bet. Take care. Okay, folks, that's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back again next week. I'm not sure when I'm hosting again. I think in another couple of weeks, but we'll see you then. Take care.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land made for you and me.